ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all your curly questions. Big belated happy 70th to you, Sabby.
Thank you, Joe. I had the most awesome night and still managed at the age of 70 to dance for 6 hours straight without stopping.
I can't even imagine what the DJ was playing given your taste in music.
Actually, it was interesting. It did. It moved on into the eclectic as the night wore on.
Oh.
But it was so much fun. And I think everyone should celebrate when they're 70. I think if you're upright, you're healthy, and you live in a country like Australia, you've got a bloody lot to be grateful for.
Well, we're grateful to have you. So thank you very much for being you, and happy, happy, happy belated 70.
Thank you, Joe.
Now, I always say if you've got a question for Sabrina, get in touch. And Jenny said, I've always got a list of questions for Sabrina. Jenny, I'll come to your question in just a tick. But Leonie and Freya wants to give a shout out, Savvy, to the My Pest Guide team because they identified some little critters that were in her garden, native red jewel bugs. And she had a response from them very quickly. So she just wanted to give them a little shout out.
Yeah. Before. I remember Leonie, she rang on Saturday and she was trying to describe the bugs. And
yeah, I've got a photo for you now. There you go. Oh, they're stunning.
They are beautiful. So so the native red jewel bug, and, of course, they're pollinators and they move seed around. They eat some seed, but, you know, this is why I keep saying if something's been chewed, don't just go and spray it. Have a look at it. Take a magnifying glass out. If you don't know what it is, send it into My Pest Guide reporter. They get back, as Leonie will tell you, very quickly. And it's something that we need in our gardens. So,
and we do not need chemicals in our gardens
so
as much.
So put the spray bottle down.
Sabby, we really need to help Michelle in Inglewood because they are hosting a wedding in their garden in mid-April. And they want to know when they need to do a semi-prune or deadhead their roses so they will get the best chance of flowering in time for the big day.
Okay.
And Michelle continues to say, any other tips are most welcome. We need to help.
Okay. So most roses from deadheading to bloom is around, depending on the rose, between 4 to 6 weeks. So I'd go for 4 weeks because we've got warmer weather. If you are putting in annuals and you want them really full and you're buying them from seedling, you're looking at 4 weeks as well. So come March, you know, second week of March, you should be really just hammering stuff, and liquid fertilizing really helps. So the liquid fertilizing will kick on 3 weeks later. You'll see the effects of that. Mass planting annuals looks amazing. So, but you will need to give yourself that 3 to 4 weeks to get the mass happening.
I reckon, Michelle, you're probably fairly busy and have a lot on your hands. I love a home wedding. There's something so special about parties and celebrations at home. So
and cheaper.
Absolutely. So 4 weeks out, really, is what you're saying.
4 weeks out.
And get that liquid fertiliser on.
And if you're doing it at home, don't forget to have night lights.
Festoon lights. Yeah, you had a bit of those.
I did. I had festoon lights put up in my garden. And so, you know, at 12:30 at night when you need to have a glass of water and a break from dancing, you can walk up to the backyard and just go quietly, oh, I need a little drink now. And then you back into it, Joe.
Oh, your garden would have looked glorious.
It looked absolutely stunning. We're going to load a whole, when I say we, I mean not me, but Jess. I'm going to put a whole pile of pictures on, and of course.
Because everybody dressed up. You haven't told anybody.
Yeah, so it was. The theme was you have to come as something you would find in the garden. So I made my own costume. And people went to enormous efforts. I think the thing that won was the guy that came as compost bin, which Freddie Crow, and he even had the turning handle on top of his head.
Don't you love how creative people are? So clever. so clever. So you're going to share some of those pics?
Yes, yes. I'll put them all up on our website.
Okay. Have a little gander at all those dress-ups. Now, Maxine in Mundaring has been patiently waiting. G'day, Maxine.
Good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina.
Good afternoon, Maxine.
I have a bit of a dilemma because I've been talking, I won't use the brand name, but I have a zapping mozzie killer.
Yes.
You know, blue light, fan, washes it in.
Yep.
And I don't put it on at night because I don't want to take away the moss because it will collect the moss.
Yes.
And she's from Queensland, this lady who sells them.
Yes.
And she said, yes, but you get all the moss that upset your veggie garden. And I said, I understand that, but what about what they do in the bush garden, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'll ask Sabrina. So
and
what do you think,
you're
Sabrina?
On the money, Maxine, because a lot of those moths are actually really important pollinators.
Yes, and, that's what I thought.
And there's some moths that actually are the only pollinators for Boronia plants.
So
there's moths. So our insects and plants, particularly in Western Australia, have evolved alongside each other. So many of our plants are totally dependent on just one species of insect for pollination.
Yes. Well, that's why as soon as I told my son I was going to have it on all night, he said, what about the moth?
Good on him, Maxine.
I agree, Maxine. I don't have any of those zappy light things on at night time. It's not only moths. You know the beautiful lace wing
dragonflies?
Anything.
Yeah, they're attracted to them. It knocks them all off.
I was devastated. There was I called my youngest animal mad, insect mad child because, oh, look at this incredible dragonfly, but it had actually attached itself to the fly screen to say goodbye to the world. I was so sad.
What
and the other thing is geckos are attracted to them, and you'll find all these sizzled geckos at the bottom of
them. No, I have not experienced that, but I usually only put it on at dawn and
dusk. Yes, perfect.
That's okay?
That is fine. That is no problem, Maxine. And thank you for caring for the little creatures of the planet.
And I have to care for myself too because I am such attracted, you know, they're attracted to
me. Oh, mossies,
Oh, yes, so I've got to have every other conceivable thing.
Do you
but
know,
I've lived happily.
I think
with that.
The best solution, I don't know if you've tried this, Maxine, is there's a certain type of sandalwood stick. Quite thick.
Oh, yes,
and the trick is you've got to light them and you do need a few before sunset.
Yes.
So you've got to get them going. Do
at
you
least
agree?
An hour before sunset.
And if you strategically place a few of those around, I actually think they're the best.
And the other thing I do is I just cover up.
Yeah.
I always have a pair of socks on. They may not match.
No, it doesn't matter.
And if they may have holes.
And if it's after 4 o'clock, I think it's legitimate time to put your Jimmy Jams on. And your socks.
Okay, fine.
Absolutely, Maxine, that's fine in my book.
Thank you for looking after all those little critters, Maxine. And Lynn has patiently been waiting. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina.
Hello, Lynn.
Hello. A few weeks ago, I rang and asked you that I needed a very fast-growing deciduous tree because I was 70.
Yeah, well.
I had some friends who were 73 and on our property, we have the most beautiful big black fig tree, and I want to give them a large branch so they'll get fruit before a certain time.
Yeah.
How big a branch can I cut off?
Okay, so if you go for the hardwood in winter, that's when you can come down and get a bigger branch. So the stem from the fig, you can cut it 60 centimetres long.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. The problem is the bigger the wood base at the bottom, the longer it's going to be for roots to develop.
I beg your pardon. So a circumference of 30 centimetres.
No, what I'm...
The 30 centimetres.
So you want to come down to the second or third year wood and you can take a cutting, doesn't matter how wide it is, but you take that cutting 60 centimetres long. You don't want to go longer than that, but it'll be the second or the third year wood.
Okay, well, plan A was 2 metres, so I'm to plan B now.
No, I'd go to plan B if I were you, Lynn.
All right, terrific. Thank you so much, okay. Joe and Sabrina.
Thanks, Lynn.
See you, Lynn. Oh, and how lovely is Lynn? Doing wonderful things for her community and for her neighbours. Very quickly before we get to Scott, Sabby, Jenny sent photos of her small peaches, you might remember, in 2J, and she says they're on top of a hill with massive winds, so they've ended up on a clay top, and none of her natives, because she's thinking now towards winter and her plans for her native garden, none of her natives from the past two winters of planting have really taken off, and she's actually thinking now of getting in truckloads of soil. What do you think she should get to break up her clay and build up the soil? She's sticking to natives endemic to the region.
Yep.
Which mulch should she use?
Okay, so in terms of what you need to put in the soil, you definitely will need to see if it reacts to gypsum. If it does, then put in some gypsum. What it's all about is drainage. So you actually need sand and compost mixed together because that helps create drainage. In terms of mulch, you can use a wood-based mulch if you know where the wood comes from.
We do not want any of that. I'm not even going to say it.
You don't want anything with a disease or an insect in it. So if you know where it comes from, and if you don't know where it comes from, you have to make sure it's been heat treated, then wood-based mulch is fine. You can also use pea hay, pea straw, lupin or lucerne.
But the key thing is to get that drainage working.
Get the drainage. So that's why you need to incorporate sand, compost and gypsum.
With the clay.
Yep.
Fantastic. The clay. There you go, Jenny. Happy soil prep, because as you always say, it's all about the soil. Scott wants some advice with deep planting gum trees.
Ah, hello, Scott.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Sabrina. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
That's the way. I've been put onto this a bit late because I didn't know anything about it. My mother filled me in. You should always listen to your mother, shouldn't you?
Oh, most definitely.
Yes. So I've just planted a red cap gum that's about 1.2 metres high, slightly advanced. And it's been in the ground for 4 weeks. Can I backfill up to that trunk?
Yep, absolutely.
I haven't got a lot of room because I left it a little bit low.
Right.
But I've probably only got 100 mil to backfill.
That's okay. That's good. That's worth it. And it's only been in the ground for 4 weeks, so that's not a problem, Scott.
Okay. And I cut down the suckers that were coming out from that root base.
Very good. Yep. Because you want it to be a single trunk tree?
No, I just didn't need it. It's got lots of new
limbs,
new growth. Okay. Yeah, and it's magnificent.
Great.
But I'm not sure about tip pruning it. Can I tip prune it, or should I?
Yeah. But I'd wait until the end of February, mid March, Scott. Tip pruning it gives it a much denser head.
Yeah.
Better shade.
And stronger.
Yeah.
Better shade. Doesn't grow as straggly.
Yeah.
Oh, happy growing, Scott. Let's head to Narrogin. G'day, Tony.
Good afternoon, ladies. I have a couple of problems.
Yep.
Not wife problems, by the way.
Thank heavens for that, Tony. I'm not very good on marriage counselling.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I'm very good at marriage.
Well, Sabrina, perhaps you can help me with my pumpkins, please.
I can certainly do that.
Every time I walk past my pumpkins, they wrap themselves around my leg and attack me.
Oh,
I've got 99% males, but there's no girls.
Well, you know.
And the second question is
the girls are shy. Okay, well, let's deal with your pumpkins first. So what you need to do is those laterals that go out and they reach out and they grab you by the leg, Tony, you've got to cut them back by 50%.
50? Oh,
50.
Goodness. Right, okay.
Cut them back by 50%, and that will encourage more of the girly flowers to come out. Oh, so the new growth that comes from that, you should get more female flowers. That's all you have to do there. And your grebs?
The other one is I've got some Robin Gordons that I'm trying to get a cutting off. To take down the coast,
Yep.
But I can't get a cutting to take. Okay. What can I do, please?
So when you take a cutting from a grevillea, they do not like sharing space with anything else, including themselves. So one of the best ways of doing it, you can get these little square propagation blocks that are basically vermiculite or perlite. They call it rock wool.
Right, yeah.
That's what's inside it. You need to take a tip cutting. So it needs to be a very small cutting. And if you can whip it off the side where it has a little heel. So when you look at your grev, the Robin Gordon, the very tip of the growth, you want a cutting that's no more than 10 centimetres long. You're going to strip the bottom leaves off and then you're going to put one, only one cutting per rock wool piece into, you're going to dip it in a hormone gel for soft cuttings, soft wood
cuttings.
This
is quite a process, Savvy.
This bit, I know. And then put that cutting in your little rock wool block. But only one cutting at a time.
Okay, yeah, because I've been trying to take the tips off and putting the hormone stuff on it.
Yeah.
No success whatsoever.
Have you tried them in the rock wool block?
No, I've just been trying in potting mix.
Well, there's the trick, Tony. That's the trick. This is why you call in and speak to the genius that is Sabrina Hahn.
That's the trick with grebs. They're quite hard to propagate, a lot of them.
Tony, hopefully you'll have more success now that you have got the secret. Mick the loader driver says happy birthday.
Thank you, Mick.
As did somebody else that I have now lost.
But that's okay.
Lots of birthday love coming your way. Now, Lee says she's not sure if it's overwatering or underwatering or the wind that's drying out her Irish strawberry tree from the base. I've had it planted since last July, Lee writes, and the dry side is where it takes the brunt of the wind in Sorrento. Any advice there?
Okay, so you're in Sorrento, so you're going to have the wind may well have a bit of salt in it. Now, the great thing about the Irish strawberry tree is it's a really tough tree. It does not come from Ireland. And you see them in Spain in the hottest part of southern Spain. And it looks to me just a bit like heat burn. So it's where it cops the wind. Yeah. If the wind's got a bit of salt on it.
It's a beautiful tree. I like what you've done there, Lee.
I love the Irish strawberry tree. It's a really tough little evergreen tree. So it's just a little bit of burn. You'll find that after a few years.
Oh, my crepe myrtles got so roasted in that heat.
I know.
I didn't put the sun cream on because I didn't know about it because I didn't pay enough attention to you.
Joe, never mind.
No excuses.
You know, we're nearly at the end of summer. Hopefully.
Next year. Okay, Lynn has got a question for you. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Oh, hi, Sabrina and Joe. Look, I've sent a photo of my Ficus Burgundy.
Oh, yeah.
Which you see is just about to take over the front door.
Yeah.
Now, I really want to make it bushier.
Yeah.
And how much do I cut off and how can I strip those pieces that I do cut off into more Ficus Burgundies?
So those side bits, I would cut them off at the main stem and then what I do is, because it's a ficus, is take at least a third off the top of it. And all those cuttings you can propagate from, but only not the very top. You've got to come to the middle. The middle.
Right.
You're going to strip the lower leaves off. And when you replant those cuttings, you have to have them 50% in the soil and 50% out of the soil.
Oh, okay.
So deep planting for those, but because it's so wide, so its arms are coming out and you can't get past it. So cut the arms off, cut the top of the plant off, and you'll get a much bushier plant.
And I think
about how much would I cut off the top of that?
Oh, I'd take at least a third.
All right.
40% off, I reckon. Go hard, Lynn.
From where that droopy leaf is, there's a droopy leaf, so go below that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, Lynn, I think you'll have more success propagating this than possibly the grevilleas. Slightly easier.
Much easier to propagate a ficus cutting.
In what medium?
the cheapest potting mix you can find, because you want it basically just sandy.
Right, okay.
So just really cheap potting mix.
Okay. About how long does it take?
Well, if you do it now, you should have, it'll start shooting within 6 weeks, you'll get new growth.
And then you can give away all the
you've got cuttings.
Presents galore. There we go, Lynn, and thank you for your kind words about Sabby's great program. Now, let's head to Geraldton and chat to Sam. G'day. Is that you, Sam?
Yep, how you going?
Hey,
good, good. Passion fruit. Passion fruit, passion fruit.
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very well. What's happening?
I'm putting a Panama red in.
Yep.
I'm just building the frame for it now. It's 8 metres long.
Yeah.
Should I put two in or just the one?
I'd put two in.
Yeah.
It's 8 metres long. You may as well go for broke. You've got enough room there, Sam.
Yeah, yeah, but some people say you're better with two or
you don't pollinate. No. You don't need two for pollination. They have all the girly bits and the boy bits. We're all in the one flower. They just do it all themselves. But then you get double the amount of passion fruit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Then Sam, you can make passion fruit curd.
Oh, yeah, that's delicious. Yeah.
Good on you, mate. Oh, keep going.
Just wondering, when I plant them.
Yep.
When I dig the hole, I'm going to get the bag of cow manure from Bunnings.
Yep,
Would it be too rich to mix that in the soil and then plant them in that?
Nothing is too rich for passion fruit, Sam.
Okay.
Go to your butcher shop and get a couple of livers as well. So they love a bit of liver, little bit of offal does the passion fruit, and dig that in the hole.
I have heard that, yep.
That's the way to go. That's what my nan always did.
Always listen to your mum was the advice before. Always listen to your nan.
Listen
to your elders.
Yep, that's the one.
Full of wisdom. 14 to 3. And Margaret has got an issue with her frangipani. G'day, Margaret.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Margaret.
Nice to talk to you again, Sabrina.
Thank you,
now,
Margaret.
Now, I'm having to shift house soon.
Yeah.
And I have got the most beautiful frangipani trees in my garden. Wow. Can I take pieces of them now or do I have to wait?
No, you don't have to wait, Maggie. Just take pieces as big as you want. Well, you have to be able to carry them and then pot them up, because you need to leave them for 2 weeks so they callus over where you've pruned them off. So. Yep. Now, the thing to remember about frangipanis is they take a long time to develop roots and they're very top-heavy.
Do you know, Maggie, I took Sabrina's advice to the letter and I need to show you a photo, Sabby, and the frangipani is going gangbusters.
Wonderful.
That's the trick. 2 weeks drying out, stake it. Yep.
And good potting mix, you said.
Good potting mix.
And not too much water.
No, don't overwater because they rot. So they will take a year to develop a root system, Maggie. That's the trick.
Happy planting. They are so beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, I love the perfume.
Yeah, just great trees. Lee, we were talking about Lee's Irish strawberry tree.
Yeah.
But she isn't sure entirely what to do.
Oh, if it's overwatering?
Yeah.
You cannot.
Or the wind that's drying it out.
Yeah, it's the wind that's drying it out. So where you are in Sorrento, there is no way that you will be overwatering an Irish strawberry tree. So it's definitely not that. Unless it's in heavy clay or you've got it in an area where it just won't drain. But I doubt that very much. So it will be a wind issue until the Irish strawberry tree. It can take a few years, maybe 4 or 5 years, to cope with those really hot winds.
Okay, it's 11 to 3, and Stefano has sent through a tree in his garden. It definitely does look like that, doesn't it? And he would like to know if you can help him identify it. G'day, Stefano.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Yeah, good, Stefano. Now, the thing with eucalypt trees is the juvenile leaves are quite often different to the mature ones. Unless you have the nuts, the nut, the heads on the nuts, the flower combination and the nut combination, it is very difficult to ID, but it is definitely a gum tree. So if they have self-sown, Stefano, you need to look around your neighbourhood at the largest tree, the largest gum trees that are in your neighbourhood, and it will be one of those.
Because Stefano is concerned they're growing above the sewer mains. Will they cause grief?
Yes, they will. Yep.
That's the short answer, Stefano.
Yep. All right, that's all I need to know. Yeah, thank you.
They will cause grief. Yep.
Okay, sadly, they might need to go. Kath is from Rockingham. Hi, Kath.
Hi, ladies. Hey, Sab, I hope you had a ripper of a party.
I certainly did.
I would love to have been there. I'm trying to do some cuttings of my little smoky. Is it Oliaria?
Oliaria, little smoky.
Yeah. What's the best thing to do there?
Tip cuttings, Kath. Now, they do actually propagate quite. There's two things you can do. You can either take the tip cuttings from the very top of the plant, or you can layer one of the lower limbs of the plant. So you get a scalpel and you do a small incision, and then you get you pin it to you can paint it with a bit of hormone gel. Then you pin it down to the ground, and it will develop roots. And then you and you just cut it off and replant it.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
No worries.
See you, Kath.
Bye.
Julie's in Kingsley. Let's head to Kingsley. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Joe and Sabrina. I have two little Geraldton wax plants that have only been in since spring.
Yeah.
But I'm desperate to transplant them. Can I do that now-ish? I know they say cooler, but they're only little.
Yeah, I would do it sooner rather than later. So, Julie, before you transplant them, I want you to give them a little tip prune, just a little tip prune. So because they're small, you're better off doing it now, and just make sure that the where you're transplanting them, that the hole is moist before you put them in that hole. Then you will need to water probably every second day until they start developing a bigger root system.
Good on you, Julie. Just back to frangies for a sec. Cam in Innaloo is saying when you're repotting a frangipani that's grown way too big for its pot, it's actually fallen over, can he plant it deeper in the potting mix to provide more support?
Absolutely, and I would definitely put another stake on it as well.
There
Not
you go.
A beef steak.
Not a stake through the heart either. I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Ingrid's in Bunbury. Hi, Ingrid.
Hello. I just had a quick question. I've got a fig tree in a large pot and it's looking quite healthy, but there's like twigs and leaves all coming out from the bottom. Should I take those off?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Ingrid, take them off sooner than later.
Oh, right. So just all of them at the bottom?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Good luck with that, Ingrid.
I just saw a picture of the 28 spotted ladybird, which is the leaf-eating ladybird.
So it's the bad
ladybird? Well, they call it bad, but it'll eat all your potatoes. Look, I think they're fine. They don't eat all your leaves. They're a beautiful
ladybird. And they're good luck.
They are good luck.
I always
luck.
Think it's such good luck when a ladybird lands on you.
Especially when they poo on you. That's even better luck.
I don't know that I've ever noticed the poo. Oh, my goodness. Now, very quickly, Yvonne is wishing you a happy birthday. And she was gifted a blueberry bush and a Tahitian lime tree.
Yep.
Should she put them in a pot or directly into the garden?
The blueberry bush has to go into a pot. The lime tree can go straight in the garden.
And best soil prep.
Okay, so
north-facing area, it's fairly shaded.
Okay, so blueberry in with blueberry potting mix, which is acidic. Prep for the lime tree, you want compost and cow poo.
Okay, very quickly, happy birthday, Sab. This listener's neighbour, and they bought small olive trees in pots. They put them at their respective front doors. Same sun, same wind. Hers is thriving. Theirs is dying, possibly a watering issue. That is so funny. And I love that you've got matching olive trees. Any advice?
Definitely a watering issue.
Water. Oh, that's gorgeous. Sabby, a very, very happy belated birthday once again. We all adore you. We can't wait to see the dress-up photos.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see you next week.
You will.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 in the afternoon. Just head to abc.net.au/Perth, or you can listen to ABC Perth.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.